Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Connect Center. Today is Wednesday, the 19th day of August. Man, it is hard to believe that we are right there. And so I've got one of the most awesome people in the world that's with us today. And if I can get this thing to do like it's supposed to, Jay, we can get you on TV.
It might be afraid of that.
It may be. There you go.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm up really early sitting here doing your radio show.
I know. And you know, and here's the thing. Anytime that you've got guests that you want to bring in here on the Friday night, the Pulse WV Live, man, we will take a break and you bring your people in here and we'll make this thing happen because this is us.
I have ideas. I just don't have
time.
The time.
Yeah.
But we're getting there.
Yeah. Amen. God's good. So what are you up to?
Well, we, for the last two closer. Sundays, get a little closer.
Yeah, there you go. Like, people hear you.
Yeah, real close.
There you
like
go.
This.
That's
okay.
It.
So the last two Sundays, we've been preaching a series on the still small voice. And, of course, that voice is God's voice. And I think if there was ever a time in our history where God's people need to hear the voice of God, it's now.
It is.
And sadly, that's not happening. I mean, I saw a survey on Barna, and this is what really began generating my thoughts towards this series. I saw a survey on Barna where the majority, I can't remember the number right off my head, but it was 60-some percent of preachers acknowledge that they don't even consult Scripture anymore before getting in the pulpit. They buy sermons offline, or they the seminaries send them sermons or various different things. I'm not saying those things are bad. We all use reference material.
Right? Sure.
We all use references and we all refer to things. But I would like to think, and I would hope to think, that when I step in the pulpit, I'm sharing what God has spoken to me.
Right.
And you know, and in doing that, I'm taking that challenge of what he speaks to me, and I'm diving into the Scriptures. And of course, you know, I use a lot of different reference books and everything else to you know, hone in where I'm going to speak. But the idea that so many aren't even consulting Scripture, aren't even really consulting God anymore is scary. And, you know, so it kind of is where that sermon began. Go ahead, you're going to
say. Do you know that somebody told me the other day, and it really alarmed me, that there are people that will write, within their churches, will write pastors' sermons. And will do that. And it's like, you know, I feel awkward about even the thought about that because, man, I love getting in there and getting into the meat and potatoes of knowing the voice of God and knowing what he's,
right.
You know,
and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead.
Absolutely.
Right?
Because this Bible study, this, you know, the Bible study that I'm doing, you know, just, you know, two or three times a week, it helps me.
Sure.
You know, I'm doing it for me. The prayer, also the prayer time that we have, you know, every night, you know, it helps me. And so I'm just really encouraged about that. Now, here's what's amazing is that I preached, you and I talk, but sometimes we may be on a subject of something else. And so when you told me what you were preaching on, and I just finished up a series like that up in Gasway, I mean, Jay, we've got to know the voice of God.
Absolutely.
And it's like, well, I told him, I said, you know, did the Holy Spirit tell you to go out and buy truckloads of toilet paper when the coronavirus started?
Right.
You know?
Well, and that's the thing, and I think that's why, because, and that's where I was going with this, is if we are not being led into what God is doing, especially by our leaders, then we as a church body aren't being led.
Right.
In the direction that we're supposed to go. So if we're not hearing from God through our pulpits and through our leadership as a universal church,
sure,
then how in the world are we going to live our lives hearing from God and allowing God to influence us and affect us in the things that are going on. And in today's time, it's vital. I mean, I see so many people scared to death. And, you know, I'm not running around licking doorknobs, but I'm not really too scared to death right. of this thing either, because I realize it's got to pass through Jesus to get to me.
Right.
And I trust in Father. I trust in Amen. In His ability to work in my life and His leadership in my life. And if we're not being molded into that type of Christianity, then exactly then we're right. in a very scary place. Yeah. But I think before we really get to, you know, how God speaks to us and the things He speaks to us, we've got to understand why He doesn't speak to us. And I think, you know, in the first two sermons of this series, we've tried to hit on that. And last week, I told the church, very simply, you got to shut up. You got to shut up. And because you've had people come to you, I'm sure, because I have a lot, come to you and ask your advice on something.
Yeah.
And, I really need your help with this, Pastor. This is blah, blah, blah going on and everything else. And they never stop.
Right.
And
for,
so
yeah, for you to
when,
even
when they
yeah.
get to the end of it, they're like, "So will you pray for me? I got to go." Yeah, sure. Sure, I'll pray for you. Right. And you know, if we approach God that way, I mean, it's one thing if you're approaching your pastor that way, but if we approach God that way.
Right.
God, here's what I'm worried about. Here's what I'm scared about. Here's what's going on in my life. And blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And we never take pause to be still.
Right.
And know that He's God. You know, Jesus, when He, and this is kind of pulled from the message, Jesus, when He gave us the model prayer, He said, when you pray, pray like this.
Right.
And how did He open that prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven,
right.
hallowed be Thy name.
Right.
So from the minute Jesus modeled that prayer to us, from the beginning of that prayer, yeah. Jesus set the tone of, we're here. And God's here.
Right.
And we need to acknowledge that He's the one sitting on the throne, yes. not us. And in this just do you day and age that we live in,
right.
we're so self-minded and self-empowered that I think we forget that God's actually the one on the throne.
Amen.
Not me, not you.
Right.
You know, not the guy next door, but God right. is the one. On the throne. And if He's going to help us, then we've got to shut up and listen.
Well, there's one thing that I've learned in just recently, and this is a shame that I've just recently learned it. There's a lot of times I will pray, I'll say, Jesus, I'll go right like that, instead of me saying, Father, in the name of Jesus. Mm. Because that's really the way Jesus said to pray.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is just open field,
yeah.
you know. And so I've changed my in all the years that you and I've been preaching, and I've changed that thought process because I heard a teaching on that, and I thought, wow, I've been saying that wrong all the time, yeah. you know. But that's where the power is.
Sure,
the power is, you know. I think what people forget is that we have that power to be able to through Jesus to pray and the captives be free.
Yeah.
The broken heart be healed.
Yeah.
You know, because Jesus said, I'm going to heaven, you know, to prepare a place, and greater things will you do.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm encouraged. I'm excited. I'm excited about what you've got to say.
Well,
hallelujah.
I just think in so many ways we've become too smart.
Yeah.
In this do you society and generation and mindset of society that we're in now,
yeah.
we've empowered ourselves to a place where we really don't belong. I mean, we yeah. really don't belong at the exalted place
yeah.
where so many of us see ourselves. And, you know, Jesus even said that it, you know, or Scripture even says that it's the foolishness of preaching.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So what does that tell you? It tells you right off the bat it's not going to be about, you know, proving how learned we are.
Right.
You know, improving how smart we are and all of these things. But what God's really driving at for us is He's really driving us to a place where we're willing to listen.
Right.
And willing to hear His yeah. voice. Because you can listen and not hear. right?
Yeah.
And where we're willing to hear, the Bible says, be still. Right. Shut up.
Right.
You know me. I've got a little sass. I'm going to interpret that shut up and know that I'm God. And that know that I'm God perspective is telling us that we need to hear who God is, acknowledge him, that he sits on a throne, and that he spoke everything we see into existence, or everything we see evolved out of his speaking things into existence.
Right.
And you know, if he's hanging the stars,
right,
and knows them by their name, if he knows the number of hairs on our head, you know, I don't know that. I might know the number of hairs on your head, but
it'd be easy on mine.
But I don't know the number of hairs on my head, right?
Right.
So why would I overtalk that guy?
Right.
Why would I think I bring something to that table?
That's good.
Right?
Right.
And so I think the greatest lesson we can learn if we want to hear from heaven is to just be quiet. Be still, or you know, if you need to be told that way, shut up and listen to what God is doing.
Well, and what you're saying is absolutely scriptural. And let me give it to you. Exodus 14:14 says this. It says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace."
Yeah.
You know, and right it, there, it just backs it
scripture.
Up.
Yeah, it's throughout Scripture.
So what you're saying is part of prayer is not saying anything.
I think a big part of prayer is not saying anything. I think God knows our needs, and he tells us to bring our needs to him. Cast your cares upon me, for I careth for you. So I'm not telling anyone to quit praying.
Right.
You know, and if we want to be foolish, we could interpret it that way. But I'm not saying that. I think we need to bring our petitions to God, but we don't have to. What happens is we bring our petitions to him, and we also bring our solutions to him, and then we want him to bless our idea of what the solution is. Whereas God would much rather we bring our needs to him and our cares to him.
Right.
And let him handle it.
Do you think that a lot of people just don't even pray for God's will? They just do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They just do it on their own. What do you think, and I'm just throwing out a number, the average Christian prays less than 2 minutes a day. I've heard that for years. You know, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. You know, we've heard that.
Or as they're falling asleep in bed at night. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, what kind of relationship can you have with Jesus if you have that kind of prayer life?
Well, I mean, think about it in the horizontal.
Right.
If we have that kind of relationship with someone here.
Right.
You know, I mean, easily our spouse. If we have that kind of relationship with our spouse, how good is our marriage going to be?
Not
you know,
very good.
Okay, we'll forget that. Think about our work situations. If we have that kind of relationship with our coworkers, or we have that kind of relationship with our boss, even, how good is that relationship going to be?
Right.
You know, as co-laborers, if we have that kind of relationship together, how good is our vision and our focus for the pulse going to be?
Yeah.
And you know, so I think if we look at it in that perspective, and we realize.
Yes.
Oh, if it's that important here, then it's 1,000 times more important with God.
Yeah. Do you think within society today that where we are today? I've been preaching, and whether you know agree or disagree, I think you probably would, that we have some huge decisions that are going to have to be made. Mm. You know, number one, you know, not to get political, are we going to be made to take the coronavirus vaccine? You know, do we need to pray over those things? You know, is it important that we do that? You know, is it important that we pray where our children go to school? Is it important where we pray to go to church, or where we work, or you know, I mean, because the Holy Spirit can speak to us and tell us what we need to do.
Absolutely. I mean, important things, I think, should always be handled with prayer.
Yeah.
You know, I can give you several examples in my life where I did some really dumb things because I did what I wanted,
right,
and I didn't seek God's will first. You know, early in our marriage, there was a truck that I just had to have.
Right.
I didn't really consult a whole lot with prayer other than saying, God, you know, make this work and bless it.
Right.
You know, I didn't go to him and say, is this what you want? Is this your will?
Right.
You know, I didn't stop and shut up and listen for 5 minutes to discern what God was saying to me. I just told God what I wanted.
Yeah.
And
wanted him
and
to bless.
So forth. Yeah. And so which funny. Basically was me realizing it was a really dumb thing.
Right.
But if I could convince God to get on my side, then it wouldn't be so dumb anymore.
Right.
Right. And so I bought the truck and it was dumb and it, you know, it was difficult in a lot of ways in our marriage because of it. Not in our, you know, relationship part of our marriage, but in the financial end and so forth of our marriage. Right. It was a really dumb decision at that stage of, you know, our early marriage to make that purchase.
Right.
But wow. I was convinced that I could convince God to make it his will. Yeah. I also remember a time when I was looking to quit. Sam was wanting to quit work. We had Luke. And, you know, our goal was to wait 2 years after we got married. And she got pregnant anyway, in spite of our efforts not to get pregnant. She got pregnant. God later showed us that he knew that for physical reasons, we would have never had kids if we would have waited. But so we had Luke, and we were at that stage, oh, okay, well, you've got to go back to work. And it was a huge burden for us. It was a concern for us. And so this was a time and a case where we put everything on paper. We figured everything out because, you know, we're smart.
Yeah,
right.
We know.
So we figured it all out.
That's
funny. We applied ourselves to it and everything else. And I prayed, well, you know, God, show us the way.
Right.
But what I did was I said, show us the way. And then I took over. I put everything down on paper. I made sure all the I's were dotted. I made sure all the T's were crossed.
Right.
And then when it didn't add up,
right.
I was like, well, God didn't show us a way. So, you know, we're going to have to go forward with what we're doing. And we went to work the following Monday and I felt convicted. Huge conviction came on me driving to work. It was that morning. It was almost like Jesus was sitting on the hood of my car, giving me, you know, one of these.
Staring you down.
And, so she calls me at lunch and she says, are you feeling anything about yesterday in our conversation, our decision? Everything else, I said, I have been so convicted all day. I don't know why. I said, you saw the numbers. You saw everything. It is what it is. And she goes, I feel the same way.
Wow.
And I shut up. When she said that, I shut up for a couple of seconds.
Right.
Which was long enough for God to wiggle in real quick and say, hey, before you start talking again, tell her to quit.
Wow.
And I was kind of like, oh, I can't do that. Are you serious?
Right.
And it was real. Tell her to quit.
Yeah.
And so let me finish real quick. Yeah. So I told her on that call, I said, go quit. Go turn in your notice. She's like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. And so long story short, she goes, turns in her notice, calls me, tells me she turned in the notice. And I said, well, we'll just trust God.
Right.
My boss comes to my office door and says, Jay, we need to see you in our office. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, and so forth. But what happens is I go into their office, and where the difference was in making our ends meet was she got really good insurance because she worked at a hospital.
Oh, wow.
And we were going to have to take a lot out of my check to do that. And so they tell me that they're picking up my insurance in the office.
Awesome.
So God already had the problem solved. God already had the I's dotted and T's crossed.
Right.
But he needed us to live and work in faith and hear him.
Right.
And what he was leading us and telling us to do instead of us telling him, okay, well, this is obviously your will because the ends don't meet.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's what I've been preaching in Gassaway about and what this Bible study recently of Deuteronomy 28:2, talking about the blessings of God. You know, it says in the New Living Translation, you will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God.
Yeah.
You know, so it goes back to obedience. And there's some people watching today, and thank you for watching the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. Pastor Jay Mace of the Winfield Campus of the Pulse, along with myself, John Fowler. Good morning, Andy Stout and Kathy Henning for watching today, and Danielle's watching.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Yeah, Scott Thaxton watching. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott. Been a while, buddy.
Yeah, Donna Parsons is watching. Kathy Kroll.
Hey, Donna.
Anna Murphy's watching today. We've got some people. Ryan, how do you say his last name? T-H-A-Y-E-R?
Thayer.
Thayer, yeah.
Hey, Ryan. How you doing,
Ryan's
buddy?
Watching. So, good morning. Glad to have you all a part of it. If you have a question, feel free to go ahead and let us know your comment if you have a comment about what we're talking about today. But, yeah, I'm right there with you, Jay. Do you think... I heard a man of God tell me one time, it was like a mentor to me, he said, if you pray 10 minutes, listen 10 minutes.
Mm, yeah.
Do you think that's important?
Absolutely. I honestly believe that we should, begin with listening.
Yes.
Pray in the middle and then listen at the end.
Wow.
You know, because, and as I've matured in my Christianity, I've done that more.
Right.
You know, I'll go to God with the mindset of, you know, God, what do you want me to hear today? What do you want to show me? What do you want me to learn?
Right.
Today. And so I just kind of sit and, you know, maybe I've got some worship music on in the background or maybe I'm just sitting there, you know, looking out at the sky or whatever, but I just give him an ability to speak to me. I shut everything else off.
Right.
Except the things that have to do with God.
Do you start with praise? Do you do a lot of praise at the beginning?
Yeah, I think the way I approach it is I acknowledge him. You know, right. Proverbs 3 tells us, yeah. You know, in all your ways, acknowledge him.
Right.
And he'll direct your path. The problem is we're not acknowledging.
Right.
We're going in acknowledging ourselves and again, asking for his blessing or asking him to agree with us and everything else. And I go into my prayer acknowledging him. God, I know you're here.
Mm-hmm.
I know you care about me. I know this is what your word says, and these are your intentions for me, the blessings that you want to give me. I know all of this exists because your word promises this. So I acknowledge you. I believe you're here. I have full faith and trust in you and confidence in all of your promises.
Yes.
And where do you want me to be? And then I just kind of listen, and sometimes he speaks to me through whatever song's playing lightly in the background, because I'm not a singer. You're a singer, so you can
sing. I've heard you sing.
You can praise him, man. I'm not much of a singer, but
even you're singing Jesus Love.
You know. But sometimes I'll just be sitting there in his presence, and he'll speak a word to me, and so I always keep my Bible nearby, and I go to what he's speaking to me in the Word. And sometimes he speaks to me through the Word,
right?
And says, "This is where I am, Jay. This is where I want you." And I think wow. I just don't think we approach him that way. I think we come up, "Oh, this would be a really great sermon series. So let me go put it all together, and then I'll ask God
what
to
he
preach
thinks."
It. You know, yeah. I think we've got it backwards. I think we've got to shut up. Yeah. And let God speak to us and let him lead us where he is.
You know, one of the things that, and I'm confessing here because you can ask, good morning, John Sandy. Hope your day is going well, brother. We sure love you. And one of the things that I've given a lot of thought to is like, okay, the praise team, we get together on the stage, okay, and we're getting ready to pray. And here's what I tell people. I say, okay, we're going to now tell God what to do.
Right. That's how we do it.
Yeah, and it's like it's kind of dumb when you think about it, and this is where
really
the Lord's
dumb.
Trying to help me. Okay, here's what I can say. It's like, Lord, I pray that you anoint Jay today in the name of Jesus. Well, Jay's already anointed.
Yeah.
You're anointed whether you're in the pulpit or you're not in the pulpit.
Yeah.
You're still anointed. How dumb, why do we do that?
Well, and they, thank you, Charlie.
Boy, you want cream in that too?
Yes.
Yeah. Little cream.
Yeah. Gotta thank Charlie here.
Yeah,
John's dad taking care of the coffee needs this morning.
Yeah, my
dad. And since John Sandy's on, I thought I'd do my radio voice because John's Mr. Radio Voice. So hi, John. How are you?
John Sandy.
I'll quit that. But
that's
yeah,
so no,
you're right. We you know, but here's the thing. If I'm gonna step into the pulpit doing my thing,
right,
rather than God's thing.
Yeah,
I might not be anointed. So
well,
now
you
you're asking. Now you're asking God to anoint what He didn't anoint in the first place.
So you're asking him to bless what he hasn't blessed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying from you know, the top of leadership to our churches and congregations, I just don't think we're getting this right. And I think we're creating a generation that doesn't hear from God, or generations, plural, that doesn't hear from God. Thank you, buddy.
Jonathan Moss watching up in Glenville area, and I hope you're doing well, John. We pray for you often, and hope in Jesus' name for, oh, I'm good. I'm really good. Jay drinks that high octane stuff. I drink the watered down stuff. Katie King watching this morning.
Hey, Katie.
She says good morning to you. And John Sandy says praise 101. Yeah, that's so.
I could never do the radio voice like you, John.
Yeah, but you do such.
You're my idol.
Oh, I can get you an autographed picture.
Can you?
For the garden, actually, keep the crows away.
Right,
that's for sure. So, when you're preaching this, what do you think the response of the audience is, or what kind of feedback are you getting?
Well, the response seems good. I mean, I see a lot of note taking. I see a lot of response. I've had a lot of great comments the weeks following the sermons and whatnot. And I think it's important, you know, that we take it to heart. Yeah. And respond to it that way, and choose within ourselves to not just shake our head and take a note that we never read again, or anything at a sermon, but that we take the next steps to that. I think it's important, you know, that and if you're part of the congregation listening, I hope you're taking it to heart and taking that next step and acknowledging God, walking into your prayer with the idea that God's on the throne, you aren't, right. and you're asking him to move and speak to you, right. in ways that are heavenly. I mean, why in the world, when God sits on that throne,
yeah,
would I want him to bless something here?
Right. Yeah.
Wouldn't I much rather him bless me with something that's heavenly? Wouldn't I much rather he move in my life or move in the church or move in circumstances and situations with the power of heaven?
Amen.
Isn't that where we're called? Yeah. Well, how in the world is that ever going to happen if I'm dictating to God?
Well, it
needs
won't.
To be the reverse.
It, you're exactly right. And this is something that David Frampton told me one time. And David said, he said, John, he said, you have to understand, he said, the supernatural is always in movement.
Sure.
He said, the spirit of darkness is always in movement. He said, God is always moving. And many times, what he's waiting on is for us to move. Mm. He's waiting on us to move. He's waiting on us to move and to follow his lead. Mm. I just wonder if, and I've done this before, but I just wonder if you go into a congregation and the countdown goes to zero, and you just sit there, and you don't say a thing, and you say, "Be led by Jesus this morning." What would happen?
Hmm.
I've done that in Gassaway.
Hmm.
I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it. It's like, okay, you know, silence is awkward to people.
Hmm.
It's not awkward to me because I can ask. I've learned this. I can ask a question. Like, let's say, for an example, I ask you a tough question right here, and I ask you that question, and then there's silence. I can out-silence that person.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, just sit there and just wait on the answer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so here's the thing. It's like I asked God one time, and I was over in the house getting ready for church, and I said, God, I said, I just pray that you do something big today. Do something big in this service. And you know what I felt? You know, I really felt this. I said, God, just, I pray you do something big. You know, it's like, why don't you do something big?
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you do something big today? You know, I've equipped you.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought, well, yeah. But it's all through him.
Of course.
You know,
yeah,
it's all through him.
Should be.
But he said greater things.
Yeah.
You know, will you do? I mean, when you take that scripture, do you take that literally, greater things? What'd you do?
Well, but the first part of that scripture is seek ye first.
Absolutely. It goes back to
first.
Deuteronomy 28. Yeah.
To shutting up and being still and hearing the voice of God. And the thing with God is, It's a still small voice, John.
Yeah.
He's not going to scream and shout at you and say, this is my will.
Right.
You know, he's not going to pound on the door, and he's not going to pound his fist. He's not going to throw a tantrum, and he's not going to do all of these wild, crazy things to get your attention. He's going to sit on that throne, and he's going to be absolute power.
Yes.
And he's going to say, draw nigh to me.
Wow.
And I'll draw nigh to you. Right?
Yes.
He's not a pound my fist, scream so everyone looks at me and sees me kind of God. He's a still small voice kind of God. And he's telling us to be still and listen to him and allow him to work and move in our life and bring, as you said, the greater things. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and what? All of these things will be added to you. So what is he saying? He's saying, you know, I'm going to sit on my throne. I'm not going to leave my throne. I'm not going to leave it for you. I'm not going to leave it for the world. I'm not going to leave it for whoever's president. I'm not going to leave it for, you know, all of these things that we just, you know, drag ourselves down with every single day.
Right.
And so forth. I'm not leaving my throne for any of that.
Right.
But, you know, you're getting caught up in all of it. You know, you're all caught up in this. You're all caught up in that. You're afraid of this. You're afraid of that. You're worrying about this. You're, you know, all caught up into the emotions of this and that and the other. But I still haven't left my throne.
Right.
I'm still sitting here.
Not wringing any sands.
And I'm not
tore up.
Yep. And I'm not screaming. And I'm not shouting. If you want peace, I got it. You want joy? I've got it.
Right.
You want blessings? I've promised it.
Right.
But you've got to be still.
Be still.
And know that I'm God and come unto me.
1 Kings chapter 19, 12 is in reference to what Jay is saying. He says, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Mm-hmm. And after the fire, mm-hmm. a still small voice. Yeah. And so if you're going through something today, which I don't know anybody that's not going through something,
right?
You know, and if you're going through something and you're trying to figure out what God is saying, you know, to you, you know, listen to what Jay is saying to you today, and what the Word of God is saying to you today. You know, He tells us to be anxious, not to be anxious. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, God is not anxious about anything, mm-hmm. and see. And the word Christ-like means to be, you know, to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. So we need to pattern and to strive to be like Him. I mean, Jesus even said, John Sandy talked about this on the prayer time last night. Jesus said to His disciples, He says, can you not tarry and pray with me for 1 hour?
Mm.
I mean, you think about that. And we've seen the movies where, you know, He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and His disciples are asleep,
mm-hmm.
and He's sweating and drops of blood through agony.
Was there ever a time that the church was more asleep than it is today?
Well, brother, I tell you what, I don't think you have all day and I don't have all day to get into that. But, you know, it's so true. Yeah. I mean, it is true. I mean, it's like, you know, we are praying. We are diligently, you know, praying 8 o'clock every evening, mm-hmm. you know. And I know people are busy. I know people have things that are going on in their life, and I know that. But what I am finding is I'm finding a pattern that it's the same people, which you appreciate, mm-hmm. those same people. But there's nothing being added to, you know, to that call, you know, of people being involved. And I'm talking about where we can truly touch heaven. Is it the fact is that we're too busy, or is it that we're asleep?
Mm.
I mean, is that what it is? Would abortion be legal if the church...
No. Prayer would still be in school. If the church wasn't asleep, this world would be a much different place. We have the battles that we have and the fears that people are posting all over Facebook every day. If they were doing more than posting on Facebook and actually getting down on their knees and praying and seeking the face of God and all of this... The complexion of everything we're dealing with today would be much different.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I see a lot of these posts, and I used to get caught up in it, right? I used to get caught up in it and everything else, and I still do a little bit. I'll share a few things that I think are important now and then. But for the most part, all the political stuff, I've just backed out because I know God has a plan. I trust his plan, and I will stand, at the end of the day, I will stand with him and on his solid rock, no matter what the winds are. I'll vote according to how I feel led to vote and all of that. I'm not saying I'm not voting or anything else like that, but I'm just not getting caught up into the world of Facebook politics, because most of the people who are out posting everything left and right, and some of it gets crazier and crazier every day, I step back and I question, I wonder, I'm like, you know what, if we prayed that hard,
yeah,
if we prayed that hard, if we sought God's face that hard, if we acknowledged him,
right,
if we shut up,
yeah,
and let him be God, would we even be here in this place and in this time today? I know he predicted it in Scripture, but he predicted in Scripture. Why? Because of the hardness of man's heart. We didn't get here because God didn't care. Right. We got here because man didn't care. And we're talking about the church when we talk about that. And that's the sad state of where we're in.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you said that. It's a sad, sad thing, but Christy and I were sharing that last night with each other, you know, that the church, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, it's the 80-20 rule, you know, 80% do 20 or 20% do 80% of the work, mm-hmm. you know, 80% of the tithing, you know, that's just the way it is, you know, and it's unfortunate that it is. But, you know, Kathy Kishner said this. She said, I hear a lot of declaring and decreeing. I wonder now, is that the correct way to pray? Where your word says that I could have this, that you would bless me here. You know, she's saying, is that the wrong way or the right way to pray? I mean, we do have rights as Christians.
Sure. And I think we can stand on the promises of God. He says his promises are yes and amen.
Amen.
Right? And I don't want to get too much into that, because I'm going to get into this week's message, which I don't want to do yet because the people haven't heard it yet. But, you know, at the same time, I think there, to answer that question, I think there is a level to which we can declare the promises of God, and I pray that way a lot. God, you promised me this, but when I say this is, you know, blessing, and this is favor, and this is, you know, understanding,
right.
and these are the statutes that
yes.
God gives us so that we see and comprehend and understand his will.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. A lot of times we do the declaration in our prayer by saying, give me that truck. Give
right.
me this job.
Right.
Give me these things. You know, and we want it to be tangible.
Sure.
And God doesn't always operate in the tangible. And I think that's where we mess up. So do I believe that we can pray and declare God's promises and God's blessings? Absolutely.
Sure.
I think the error that we make a lot of times is we tell God what that is.
Yes. Because really, in what we should be doing is praying God's word.
God's word and God's will.
Yeah, yep. God's will.
Yep.
You know, Ricky Skaggs, you know, I followed him ever since he started, ever since I was a little boy. His son, he was actually going to, and this has been many, many years ago, at the state fair in Lewisburg. He was actually going to sing that night, and we were actually supposed to go and listen to him that night. And his son was shot by a truck driver that afternoon. A truck driver, I guess his ex-wife or whoever it was, had pulled over in front of somebody and made the truck, and the truck driver shot his son in the mouth. Mm. Well, Ricky Skaggs, being a Christian, you know, spirit-filled, and him and Sharon and just wonderful people, He said, I remember in the interview that I watched, he said, I will live, my son shall live and shall not die. He was quoting the word.
Mm-hmm.
He was quoting the word, and that he said, my son shall live and shall not die. I can't remember what his name was. But anyway, so in time of trouble, in time of heartache, in time of despair, if we don't know the word and if we don't know how to pray, mm-hmm. then we don't know what to declare.
Let me ask you a question. That's a great example. Do you think Ricky heard from heaven before he made that declaration? He had to, right?
He had to have, because, I mean, he knew that word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's good. Again, that's what I go back to. I think that's the error, is a lot of times we declare what we want. We declare what makes sense to us rather than declaring the promise. Just declare the promise. You don't have to tell God how to unfold it. God's God. God knows how to unfold it.
Right.
But declare the promise. You know, declare the truth.
Absolutely.
And let God do the rest.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where we err. The second part of our sermon series that I preached this past Sunday, I started drilling down more on this idea of how do we hear from God. You know, we start by shutting up. Be still, know that I'm God.
Right.
The second part of that is more about that acknowledgement of who God is and what God has given us, exactly what we're talking about in the promises. I want to read out of Romans 8.
You need my glasses?
I think I can hold it far enough away. That bright light that you've got on me might make it a little more harder because it makes everything blurry.
You're angelic. So, yeah. I can turn it
so off. Y'all laughing. I know you're laughing. I can hear you in my spirit laughing, so don't laugh at me. But in Romans 8, it tells us this. This isn't my normal Bible, so it's a little different.
Romans
it
8.
Says, Romans 8, I'll start at verse 7. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, right? So right there it's telling us that what we think, what we can put together, what we can come up with in the best of our fleshly ability is enmity with God, right? It means that we are immediately creating a division between ourselves and God if we come to God in our flesh and begin telling him what to do. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're coming to God in your prayer, if you're coming to God in your day, if you're coming to God in your life, and you're dictating to God how it's going to be and asking for his blessing, you've already created enmity.
Wow.
And it doesn't please him. Right? It goes on. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. His meaning God's. You are not God's. If the Spirit isn't dwelling in you, you aren't God's. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And what that really drives home to us is that so often we're trying to operate spiritual things in the flesh. And Paul tells us here in Romans that is enmity with God.
Right.
When we are trying to maneuver our spirituality, when we're trying to maneuver our place with God, when we're trying to maneuver the vision of the church or the direction of our life or what job am I supposed to take or am I supposed to move here or move there, when we start making these decisions and we're pushing the flesh into that, well, we're creating enmity. Our spirit should commune with the Spirit of God and it begin to direct us in the way that we're supposed to go. And go ahead.
And the Greek of enmity, I always had trouble
enmity.
Enmity. Yeah. I always had trouble saying that word. In the Greek term of this, it's hatred and a reason for opposition.
Mm.
That's what the definition of that is. So you're saying that while we're praying, we're causing a division because of the flesh.
If we are
in the flesh.
Well, I think the way I said this in my message Sunday, and I might not have this word for word, but the reason so many of us struggle hearing from God is we're trying to do it in the flesh.
Yeah.
And if we haven't consummated our Christianity with the Spirit of God and its power living and working in us. I mean, here in Romans 8, it tells us that if we belong to him, then the Spirit is in us. God gave us everything we needed at
Absolutely.
Our salvation. The problem is, we've been taught and molded to focus on that moment of salvation rather than the sanctification that takes place in us and the transfiguration that takes place in us from fleshly to spiritual.
Absolutely.
And we focus on all of these fleshly points of our salvation, and we never focus on the spiritual side of our salvation. So we're not molded and taught from the beginning how to spiritually approach God and allow God to speak to us. So what do we do in turn?
Make it up on our own.
We make it up on our own. We figure it up on our own. And I gave him an example Sunday morning. I put a picture up. It was a cartoon picture of a guy.
I saw that.
You've seen it with the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder.
Right.
And we think that's how we're figuring this out.
Right.
Right? You know, this is evil. This is not. And we're using our own mind to figure that out.
Right.
Well, Paul just told us that's enmity. You know, that's garbage.
It's true.
You know,
it's opposition towards God.
Because here's the thing. We all have a conscience, right?
I hope.
Right. Well, wait, hang on a minute.
Okay.
Did you have that conscience before you were saved?
Yeah.
Yes.
You
right?
did, yeah.
Yeah. You had a fleshly mechanism
right.
developed by what you were taught. Mom says this is bad. This is bad.
Right.
Dad says this is good. This is good. My teacher says this is good, so this is good. My preacher says this is bad, so this is bad. We had a concept in the flesh
right.
of right and wrong.
Absolutely.
Right? This is still flesh. This is still a fleshly conscience. Paul, multiple times in his epistles to the different churches, tells us that until we allow the Holy Spirit to lead our conscience and to overcome the fleshly will of our conscience.
That's good.
Then that is only when we begin to think and operate spiritually rather than fleshly. Because, yes. See, we developed our conscience long before our salvation. In one round, I don't care if you got saved at 4 years old like one of my sons did. You still had a conscience of right or wrong.
Right.
Right?
Yep,
but that's still a fleshly conscience.
Right.
Paul tells us that we've got to give ourselves over to the power of the Holy Spirit in our conscience so that we're led by the Spirit of God and not by just what we've been taught.
Did you read verse 4 and 5? Did you read those?
In Romans?
Yes.
Not this morning, no.
Yeah, when you
I've read it a few times, otherwise.
Well, I know you. Well, see, I was like checking something. And
I'm joking. Go
that's
ahead.
So funny. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, and I love Romans 8. I mean, it's just one of my favorite things.
Love Romans, period.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that walk after the Spirit do the things of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And here's what my mentor, James Ashworth, used to tell me. He said, the church is carnal. The church is worldly. Yes. And he says this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Life and peace. My life is in turmoil. My life's a mess. How many times you heard that? My life's a mess. And when you think about that, okay, stop being carnally minded.
Mm-hmm.
Become spiritually minded. That's what the word says. That's what it says. I love this part.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's a shame, like, the church is like that.
It is a shame the church is like that. And if we're going to win in any way, shape, or form, we know Jesus wins in the end.
Amen.
Okay, but I don't think the church wins in the end.
Right.
You know, if you go to Revelations, the whole first part of Revelations is talking about how bad the church is and how much they screwed up.
Right.
Right? So I don't think the church wins in the end. I think Jesus wins in the end, and those that akin ourselves to him spiritually
right.
win with him in the end. But, you know, I've heard so many times people saying the church wins in the end. Not really.
Right.
Not really, because there's examples in Revelations of the churches that didn't win,
right,
and why they didn't win, and right, why Christ has to come back and bring an end to all of it, because the church isn't doing what God intended the church to do.
So as we get down to the end of our conversation today, what would you, as you sum up the last two weeks, what are you telling people at the end of this conversation? What do you think people should do to move forward?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to be quiet. We need to be still. And you know, we need to understand where God is in this relationship. He's on a throne.
Amen.
You know, he's not here on earth. He's not, you know, flipping through Facebook. He's not doing all of the things that are normal to us every day.
Right.
He's on a throne.
Amen.
The throne.
The throne.
The throne that will stand,
absolutely,
above all over thrones. That's where God is.
Hallelujah.
And he's not leaving it for me, and he's not leaving it for you.
Right.
Right? Or anyone else for that matter. So we need to be still.
Yes.
And know that he's God.
Right.
And we need to begin acknowledging him and allowing him to speak to us.
Yes.
Now, he's going to speak. He's going to speak through his word, and these are messages to come. He's going to speak through a whole lot of other things to us and in ways to us. But the only way we're going to discern that, the only way we're going to hear that, and Bible tells us that the only way we understand,
right,
is by the Spirit. We don't understand because of hours of reading books and everything else. We do that to study and show ourselves approved.
Sure.
Right? And so I'm not saying that's bad, because right, people will take that out of context and be like, well, he said that's bad. No, I didn't say that's bad. We right, study to show ourselves approved, but the only way we get understanding is right, through the Spirit of God.
Absolutely.
It's the only way we get understanding. That's Bible. Okay,
yes.
That's not my opinion. That's Bible.
Sure.
And
it's awesome.
So as we do that, be still and know that he's God. As we begin to allow him to take that rightful place, not only in the world, but in our heart and in our life,
yes,
and we begin to shut up and be still and bring ourselves into his throne room,
yes,
then we begin to look at things spiritually,
right,
and not fleshly. Right?
That's
looking
true.
Start looking at your life. If we wanna consummate our Christianity in the Holy Spirit, and I think we do, because that's the only way the promises come. That's the only way the yeses and the amens begin to move in our life.
Diligently seeking him, Deuteronomy 28.
Right,
yep,
right. So the only way that happens is spiritually. It doesn't happen fleshly,
no,
right? I just read that to you in
yeah,
Romans 8 and what you shared,
yes,
right? So that only happens spiritually. So that being still process moves us in to a place and a seat,
yes,
where we now begin to discern things spiritually, right? And what I would encourage people to do is when you develop your opinions on something, ask yourself, how did I develop this opinion?
That's good.
Did I develop this opinion because of a conscience that predated my salvation?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it's bad. It doesn't mean that mom and dad's bad. It doesn't mean that, you know, your pastors when you were a kid were bad. These things that help develop your conscience, I'm not saying that they're bad.
Right.
I'm just saying God's a whole lot better.
Amen.
Right? The Holy Spirit is a whole lot better and a whole lot more powerful. And
yes,
that's what we need to hear from. And
yeah,
that's what we need to develop our conscience from.
Absolutely.
As we move forward. So
wow,
if we want to hear from God, we got to be still, to answer your question. We got to be still, and we got to allow ourselves to be developed spiritually rather than just going on down the same fleshly road.
Yes. Wonderful teaching. Man, this is great. Pastor Jay Mace from the Winfield campus of the Pulse Church. Wow, what an awesome thing. Tell us in our closing moments here, we've got Kelly Wayne is watching today.
Hey, Kelly.
And from up in Gassaway. Good morning, Kelly. And Kelly started a Christian school 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she started it because
Wonderful job.
Yes, there was a need. And so Kelly has other responsibilities with her parents, and so she stepped away from the Christian school, and we rebranded it to the Pulse Christian Academy. Jay is the administrator of the Christian school, and we have one in Gassaway. I talk about this every morning on the call, and here we are in the Connect Center in Taze Valley, West Virginia, And so we're moving forward for Christian school here in Taze Valley. Do you have anything that you want to add to that or tell people what they can do?
I'm thankful that as part of this, that God has brought a lot of great people to the table.
He really has.
I mean, clearly I work full-time, yeah, and I pastor full-time. So to clarify, administrator is really just kind of...
administrating.
Yeah, bringing people together and let them do the important and smart things, and to, you know, ensure that it's guided by the Spirit and not our flesh and our will and what we want or don't want.
Right.
So you know, that's kind of how I see my job in this. But we've got an amazing board, Kelly, that John spoke about, all of her years of experience and sacrifice and dedication to Lighthouse Christian School comes in. Megan Stout, who taught at that Christian school for all of those years, and everything, serves on that board. My wife, who's worked in Christian school ministry for almost 18 years, yes, is on that board. Anna Miller, on that board.
She's also watching
who's
today.
Who's over 30 years of Christian school or teaching experience, not just Christian school experience.
Absolutely.
But then also Eric Sadie.
Yes.
And Eric comes with a great perspective for us, as you know, he has kids in has had kids in public school, private school, Christian school, and homeschool. So he comes in with that experience. Plus, he's like a tech guru, and you know, is going to be vital to us as far as putting all of our tech stuff together. And there's other people too that we're hoping, as we move out of this COVID and everything else, that they get involved that we've talked to in the past and whatnot, but right now it's just not a good time for them. So what that really means is we've got a group of excellent people,
yes,
put together by God for Amen. Us to endeavor in this. And you know, when God moves, God moves, and it's yeah, it's overwhelming at times. You know, and sometimes you just sit down and buckle up because you have yeah, no idea where you're going and how and whatever. The goal wasn't to start anything in Putnam County, mm-hmm, for at least a year, maybe more, if ever, right?
Right.
I mean, the goal was really to step into what Lighthouse had done,
right,
and you know, switch everything to the Pulse Christian Academy and you know, put a good face on that and get accredited and do all of the things, because you're working with Dr. Dan from Grace,
right,
Christian School for a lot of that, and so the goal was really to do all of that.
Yes.
And we put no marketing out, we put nothing out, and next thing you know, we're getting calls from people in Putnam County wanting an option.
Yes.
And you know, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so. But I'm glad I know how to be still and shut up and listen to God, because
right,
it's a little overwhelming too. But you say all of that just to be real.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not being derogatory at all, just being real with you as a human being.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, man, it is exciting.
It is.
And it's exciting to see God move. And to see that it's Him. Like I said, we did nothing to market it or push it. I mean, yeah, we put a couple things out that
talk about,
you know, we've now acquired it and whatever, but that was it.
Yeah.
I think we put out a picture of the board,
yeah,
as a welcome, you know, welcome to our board members and
absolutely,
and something, and that's all we did, and that was on the Pulse Christian Academy page.
It was on Facebook
and,
page.
And that was it. And next thing you know, man, we started getting phone calls and everything else. And so
awesome.
we're excited. We really are. We've got amazing people. Anna, I know, is waiting on my phone call as I drive into work after I leave here. And
right,
and so she's been hard at work, I know. And I know, you know, Eric's been a big help along with Megan and Kelly, as far as the curriculum and getting that in place.
Absolutely.
And working towards you know, accreditation within the next couple of years, the timeline that we've been given. So yeah, all exciting stuff, you know, and a lot of amazing people. That's the important part. Is
it takes,
you know,
people.
Yeah, it takes people willing to hear His voice and step into it.
If you're interested in being a part of the Pulse Christian Academy, either in Braxton County or in Putnam County, we do have an office number, 304-364-4370, 304-364-4370. 4370 website's being worked on, and or you can message Pastor Jay, or you can message myself or one of the people that Jay had mentioned, and we would love for you to be a part of the Lighthouse Christian Academy. Now, we want to encourage you to go over to our YouTube pages, the Pulse Winfield, the Pulse Gasaway. Subscribe to those
pages.
The Pulse
Winfield Live.
Oh, the Pulse Winfield Live. Yep. Okay, Pulse the Pulse Winfield Live. And go over there and subscribe to the Pulse Winfield Live. We are also on Google Play, Spotify, as well as Apple Podcast with this program, as well as the Pulse WV Live on Friday. So we encourage you to take this broadcast today and share it. Share it to your friends, and continue to pray over people. You want to just pray a blessing over people today,
yeah,
that are listening, and then we'll see you all the next time.
Father, we're just thankful and privileged to sit here in a chair that, Lord, you've appointed for us. And God, we sometimes wonder why, but God, we know that you sit on a throne, and that, God, you're able. And because you're able to move and work and do the things that are bigger and beyond us, Lord, we sit and we subject ourselves to you. We're thankful, Lord, for the privilege to hear your voice, and Lord, we're thankful for the privilege to see how you work and how you move in the direction that you take us in. And God, Lord, we pray for each person listening this morning. God, we know that you know. It's not important that we know. We know that you know their need. We know that you know their situation. We know that you know their uncertainty. We know that you know their fear. We know that you know, God, their struggle. We know that you know every detail of their situation. And so, God, right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask that you touch them, and we ask that you bless them, and we ask, dear God, that you make a difference that only you can make. We ask for victory in their struggle. We ask, dear God, that they overcome the things that have a hold on them and that they struggle with in this life. God, most of all, we pray for their salvation and their ability to cast those things at your feet and to step away from them and to grow in their spirit and to step, dear God, into the call that you have in their life. God, this society says to just do you. Well, the only you for us to do is the you that you created in the womb. God, when you formed us and you created us in the womb, not in heaven and put us there, the Bible says that you formed us and created us and gave us everything we would ever need. All the yeses and all of the amens, you gave that all to us in the womb.
Hallelujah.
And so, God, we claim that this morning, knowing that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, God, we pray that all of these people, wherever they are, whatever their need, whatever their circumstance, whatever their condition, we know that you've already given the yes, you've already given the amen. And so, God, we ask them to take a step back, to be still, know that you're God, and allow your throne to do its work in their life. We pray for that blessing over them today. We believe in you. We thank you for the blessings that you're going to give us. We thank you for the things that you're going to bless this church, the Pulse West Virginia. We thank you for the things that our hands touch today. Lord, if it be in our jobs, if it be in our families, Lord, if it be in the people we talk to in the grocery store, we pray that you bless our hands' work today.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, that you do a good thing in us, that others would see you, would not see us, but see you.
Amen.
And we'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Jay, thank you for being on the program today. It's awesome doing ministry with you.
God is faithful.
Hey, thanks for watching the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. See you next time.